seated.
Amen. Y'all give me a half a second here. I'm getting these things in the order in which they are seated here so that we don't have a catastrophe on our hands here today. How about that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we're indeed proud today to be able to, hello, amen. I like the sound of that. We're proud to be able to recognize our graduates today. We have a couple that actually have graduated from college. So that's quite an honor. And one of them is my son. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. 6 9 years. Let me tell you something. It's been a glorious day around our house for about the last 2 or 3 weeks now. The fact he's got a full-time job and I got the pen ready to sign everything over to him. Insurance, cell phone, you name it. You name it. I'll give him a little bit of a leeway there. But anyhow, we're really proud of two of our members. Cody was not able to be here today, but Cody's one of them. He graduated from the University of North Georgia. I'm ashamed to say this, but I think he got a marketing degree. He's either marketing or management. Neither of which I'm very good at, so it didn't mean a whole lot to me. But anyhow, it's in business. I do know that. But we do have Allie Bell here today. I'm going to ask Allie to come up front. Allie graduated with a degree in education, and she has got a job over in Clark County, and we're real proud of her. And you graduated from Georgia College? Georgia College and State University. So let's give Allie a big hand. My brothers are doing Shannon Allie's wedding, so they're very special people to me, and we're going to wish her the best in her job. And I know Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa, or excuse me, me, Mom, and Papa, all right. Her too. So, having said that, what I want to do is I'm going to call our seniors around, and I'm going to start with the front row right here, with the ones at the farthest end. I think I've got them in the correct order here. So, I'm going to start with. Okay, I got it now. We're going to start with James Fikes, aka Preacher Man. Anybody that looks like Jesus and is a preacher can be all bad, amen? So, James, congratulations, bud. We're proud of you, and we want to present this to you from Bethesda Baptist. And Alicia's got you a gift here. Don't go off, man. You got to say something. Huh? What I'd just like for you guys to do real quick is just maybe tell us what your plans are, where you plan on going from here.
My plans are, I've already applied to Athens Technical College. I have not gotten a letter back from them on taking a placement test, but I'm hoping I'll get one from them soon. And when I do, I want to go into AC maintenance and repair. That way I can, I want to do something similar to what Robert Tomlin does over there at Bethel Baptist. He owns his own company and he owns his own HVAC services. I want to do something like that.
Amen.
All right.
Next up, we have Valerie Bryant. Valerie, come on over here. Yeah. We're proud of you and your accomplishments. She's graduating from, let me mention where they're graduating from, okay? James is graduating from Bray County High School next Friday, this coming Friday. Valerie's going to be graduating from Nathaniel Green Academy this coming Friday, right? It's not fair. Tomorrow, okay? Valerie, what's your plans?
She doesn't know.
Understand.
I'm gonna go where God leads me.
That is always a good answer, isn't it? Hey, you can never go wrong with that answer right there. And let me just say, our youth leader, Alicia's got them a little gift she's giving them too. That's from her, so I want to appreciate her doing that for them. Next up is William Mice, James' brother. He's going to be graduating from Bray County High School. So let's give William a hand. You have to get an adjustment after that, didn't you? is just a little token of our appreciation. What are your plans?
Well, after high school, I plan to go into acting or to go work at a police academy somewhere, but I'm going to have to get my driver's license first. I'm going to go work at the jail to get some extra money for it, so.
Amen. That sounds like a plan to me. Acting, policing, and jail. Amen. I'm all for it. Amen. Amen. All right, next up is Lindsay Moore. Lindsay, come on over. Lindsay is not actually a member of our church, but she comes a lot with Mason, and we appreciate her coming, and we think of her as one of our own. She'll be graduating from Washington Wilkes High School next week. And Lindsay, what are your plans?
I plan to go to Ava and major in animal science and just go from there.
Amen. All right. Thank you. Next up, we got Kevin. Kevin Howell. He'll slip out over here. Kevin, congratulations. Kevin, also, give him a hand. Kevin is also graduating from Green County High School next week. And Kevin, what are your plans to come about the second week in July?
I'm going to Marine boot camp.
Amen. He's in the Marines. We're proud of him and his willingness to serve our country in that capacity there. Next up, we got Josh Cunningham. Josh. Josh is graduating from Green County High School, and he's already been accepted into where?
AFAD.
Okay, tell us what you're going to do.
I'm going to do a crop production for 4 years, and after that, we'll see where the road takes me.
Amen. All right. And last but certainly not least, here we got Mason Cronin. Mason is one of our. I've seen Mason grow up pretty much in the church here. I know once again his parents and grandparents are extremely proud of him too. And he will be graduating from Washington Wilkes High School next week as well. So Mason, what are your plans?
I got accepted into ABAC. I'm going to go down there and do conservation law enforcement with MK York.
By him in the woods or on the lake. Well, we're proud of all of our seniors and our college graduates. This is certainly a monumental time in their lives, and we certainly need to continue to pray for them as they move from this phase of their life into the next phase of their life, and we'll pray that God will continue to keep his hand on them. We have a very active youth group here, a very good group, and we're really proud of them, and we've got several more that will be graduating. So we just pray that God will take them down the road. As Valerie said, I'm going to go where God leads me. And that's always a good attitude to have. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, you may start out thinking that God has got a plan for you in a certain area. You may find out totally that God's going to turn you completely around. So you got to always be submissive to that and ready for that. So we're proud of them. Let's give them one more round of applause. And we're I know the caps are killing them. We're going to let the seniors go back and take their garb off right now. They're like, how soon can we get it off? I was like, at least let us recognize you, okay? So we're going to let them slide out as we sing this next hymn.
Okay, for our offertory hymn, let's get our hymnals and turn to page 154. Page 154. Let's stand as we sing.
Jim and Paul, it's wonderful to be in your house again, Lord, and it's so wonderful to see you moving in the young crowd with us today, Lord. And just, Lord, please be with them. Continue to watch over them, guide them, and direct us. Lord, just now at this time, take these tithes and offerings, which is already yours, yes, Lord, and just use them to what's pleasing in your eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'll stand for the doxology.
This time we're going to ask our deacons to come forward and we're going to observe the Lord's Supper in just a moment.
Father, we just thank you for this day, dear Lord. We just thank you for your many blessings, dear Lord. We're so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his body, dear Lord, for us. And his body was broken for us, dear Lord, that we might be saved from our sins. We're so much thankful, dear Lord. We just pray that you bless this bread, dear Lord. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus and his disciples were gathered in the upper room, and as he was talking to them, not long before he was going to be crucified, he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Once again, while they were all assembled in the upper room, Jesus took the cup and he told his disciples, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. As often as you drink of this cup, do it in remembrance of me." The Bible says, and they went out and sang a hymn together. We're going to ask now that we fellowship with one another for a minute, greet each other, and then we'll move into the rest of our service. If you will, please stand. And kids, y'all going back to kids' church at this time.
All right.
Clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, have a seat. Oh, wasn't that blood?
If you're happy, now have a seat.
All right. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, you're awake. That's good, that's good, that's good. We are privileged this morning to have a young man to come and sing for us. His name is James Earls. And I found out a lot about him. I had 12 pages of written stuff, but I'm afraid it would take too long to tell you. So I'm going to shorten it real quick. He's a member of First Baptist Church. He's got a southern drawl. He says y'all and ain't.
Amen.
Likes black-eyed peas and cornbread, yes. And he loves fried chicken.
Hallelujah.
Crackling cornbread.
Oh, crackling cornbread, excuse me, and get that straight. Amen. So with the combination of all those, he's a true Southern Baptist. Let's give him a Bethlehem. Bethesda Baptist.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
He neglected to tell y'all that I am originally from Greensboro, North Carolina.
All right.
And I moved. We got a live one in the audience. All right. I like that. I moved from Greensboro, North Carolina about 5 years ago. And lo and behold, I went from Greensboro, North Carolina to Greensboro, Georgia. I got off on the exit and I went, boy, I traveled 6 hours and I didn't think I made a big circle. But then I looked around and I says, no, I didn't make no big circle. I'm in the great state of Georgia.
Yeah,
I love it. I love it ever since I've been here. But I appreciate y'all letting me get up here. I'm gonna be honest with you now. I'm a nervous tick. And that's just the way it is with me. And I might stop and we might go on and I might stop and we might start something different. So there's really no telling about me when I get up here and play this music. One thing's for sure. Whatever burns in fire, you'll find in the ashes, and rain ain't nothing but wet. And that's an amen if I can give it.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, brother.
That's right.
If we never meet again this side of heaven.
Yes.
Soon we'll come to the end of life's journey. And perhaps we'll never meet. Struggle through this world and its strife.
if we never meet again this side of heaven. I will meet you on that beautiful shore.
We got time for one more short.
Yes, sir.
I don't see anybody tapping their feet. So that means the crops ain't ready to get in, so we can go on and move.
Amen.
All right, well, I'm going to do one of mine that I've done, came up with my own here. It's real short. I hope I can remember all the words to it. And if I can't, we'll just stop and we'll go on. This is called Little Brown Church on the Hill. That little brown church on the hill, where my ma and pa, don't forget about my brothers, y'all. That little brown church.
Thank you, Brother James. That is great stuff right there. We certainly appreciate you coming and sharing with us. Look forward to getting you back again soon. Amen. How many of you glad to be in God's house today?
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. That's worthy of a hand clap of praise right there. Guys, we're going to continue in our series entitled The Parables of Jesus. We're going to talk today about a parable found in Matthew chapter 25. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25.
Hallelujah.
Amen, Weezy. Matthew chapter 25. Now, just to kind of recap a little bit, this is the third parable that we've gone over. Last week, of course, was Mother's Day, and we certainly wanted to recognize our moms. So we kind of got away from these parables, but we're back in them. We've gone over the parable of the sower. We've gone over the wheat and the tares parable. And today we're going to go over a parable called the sheep and the goats. Now, some of you may say, well, that's a weird thing to talk about. Well, we're going to find out the significance of that in just a minute. So I just want to kind of lay the groundwork there. Some of you are here for the first time. We've been doing this series. I'm probably going to cover a couple more of these parables before we move on to something else, or we'll stay in them as long as the Lord leads me to. Amen. Now, there's about 46 of these parables that 39. Jesus talks about. How many?
39.
Well, I said 46.
That's right. You was wrong.
Okay. All right, then. Well, I'm just going by what I read.
I researched.
Oh, you researched it. Okay, Weezy. Well, you just come up here and preach. Amen. Okay. Well, actually, some of those parables were not actually listed as true parables, but in reality, they were stories that Jesus told. So that's where the number 46 has come from. 39 that you actually are given credit for in the New Testament of that. So anyhow, those of you, if you have your Bible, stand to your feet. We're going to read Matthew chapter 25 in honor of God's word. I'm going to ask you to stand, verses 31 through 46. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Father God, we just ask now you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, please empty myself of me, and let nothing I say the next few minutes be about me, but let it be all about you and to your glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, I'm not going to be long today because I know we've had a lot this morning. But guys, I want you to understand something. And this parable kind of piggybacks off of the parable of the wheat and tares a little bit. Remember how we talked about how the farmer came along and he sowed the wheat, and then all of a sudden it was looking good. But then a little bit later on, they started noticing, hey, there's something going on here. We've got something coming up inside this wheat. And of course, as the parable goes on, we understand that this was probably a weed called darnel, which actually looks very much like wheat when it's growing. It's not until it matures and gets older that you can actually tell the difference. And the servants came and said, Well, master, should we go out and pluck these out of here and separate them out? He said, No, don't do that, because when you do it, you're going to rip up some of the good stuff too. I'll do that in the end when we come and harvest. And that's what this parable is talking about here. Guys, there are two groups of people only in this world. You may say, Well, preacher, there's all kind of nationalities and races. Yeah, but there's only two groups that we will group these people in. Number one is the sheep on the right side, and number two is the goats on the left. You see, there's only two types of people when it comes really down to it. There are those who are born again believers in Jesus, and there are those who do not know him as their Savior and Lord. And in the end, that's going to be the only two groups that will matter, because everything else is going to be unimportant at that point in time. I want you to understand that. Guys, if you're taking your notes, we're going to start in on here today, and we're going to go kind of two or three verses along here at a time. But I want to make sure you understand one thing. Let me say to begin with, Jesus is coming back. Amen.
Amen.
If you're glad about that, say amen.
Amen.
Man, I tell you one thing. If I thought this is as good as it gets right here, I'd be ready to just go on and end it right now. Because I have the hope, I have the belief and the comfort in knowing that one day all of this turmoil and all this strife and all this stuff we go through on this earth is going to be rewarded. And it's going to be rewarded in a place without sin. Amen? That's going to be something that's powerful now. Let me tell you something. Food's going to taste different without sin. People are going to be certainly different without sin. You won't have to worry about being tempted to do this, that, and the other. The devil and all of his followers are going to be cast away from us forever. Amen?
Amen.
And that's going to be a great day. And that's not going to be so great for those goats, okay? And don't go out here telling people, the preacher's calling us goats. No, I'm not calling you that. I'm just saying you're either a sheep or a goat. Amen? I'm not saying you're a goat. In fact, I hope we don't have any goats in here today. But guys, Jesus is coming again. Verse 31 tells us that. And guys, when he comes back for his children, his angels are coming along with him with those sickles in hand. And guess what? They're going to harvest that wheat. And before you know it, we're going to be in heaven with Jesus. That's going to be a great thing. At this time, all the nations are going to be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another. He's going to separate the people one from another. And guys, just like a shepherd would separate the sheep from the goats, he's going to separate us apart. And guys, let me tell you something. These atheists that run around here talking about, I don't believe in God, there is no God. When this happens, guess what? Even those atheists are going to get on their knees and they're going to acknowledge Jesus as Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. But unfortunately, it's going to be too late for them. But every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He's Lord. Amen. Everybody's going to do that. Even those that aren't getting into heaven. So you see, the next time an atheist comes up to you and tries to tell you, oh, there is no God, just be as nice as you can with a smile on your face and say, well, one day you're going to get down on your knees and worship Him. They'll be like, no, I'm not. Yeah, yes, you will. And I hope and pray that you're not in that group that will not be able to see Him at that point in time after that. I'm hoping and praying that you will see the light there. Guys, there's going to be a separation there. Verse 33 tells us, at this point, Jesus is going to separate the believers from the non-believers. And let me tell you something else here, guys. I've preached on this before. There are going to be people that are going to be in that goat section that didn't think they were going to be in that section. Amen? There are going to be people that are over there that are going to be shocked about that. I'm going to ask if you have your Bibles real quick. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5 for just a second. I want to read some scripture to you. You say, well, preacher, I love Jesus. Yeah, I love Him too. Well, preacher, I read my Bible. Yes, I read mine too. Well, preacher, I pray. Yes, I do too. So what makes me and you different? Well, I want to read to you what God's Word says is the difference here. Guys, you're either going to be worshiping in the Spirit or you're going to be worshiping the flesh. There's no two ways around that in Galatians chapter 5. Beginning with verse 16, look at what it says. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now look at what the works of the flesh are here, guys. And I want you to let this sink in. I want everybody to listen to what I'm saying here, because you are in one of these two groups right now. Now, I'm not saying you can't be a born-again believer and slip over every now and then into this other group. But I want you to listen. If this consistently describes you and points out to you who you really are, then we need to make some changes in our life. Amen. We need to make some changes. Look at what it says here. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's God speaking His word there. That's not me. That's not the gospel according to me. If you are in that group and you're consistently doing those things, if you're consistently going out and spouting out things against God's word, if you're trying to stir up strife and trouble in people's lives, then you fit in this group right now. I'm not saying you're necessarily of the flesh all the time, but you need to make some changes in your life. If that's what you get into, is to make other people's lives miserable and to do the things that God would look at and say, no, that's not good, then you need to make some changes in your life. But on the flip side, let's look at what the sheep should be doing now. Look at what the sheep should be doing. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Guys, we're in one of two groups. We're either in the sheep or the goats. Now, sometimes the sheep go over in the goat pen, don't they? But guess what? The goats never come over in the sheep pen. I want you to understand what I'm saying here. There are going to be times in our life where we as believers are going to go from the sheep pen and we're going to cross the road a little bit and we're going to get over there in the goat pen. And it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit of God will convict your heart and help you understand what you've done and get you back in that sheep pen real quick. Amen. Amen. If you're glad we serve a forgiving God, say amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that God will forgive you for anything but one thing? There's only one thing that you will never be forgiven for, and that is remaining a goat the rest of your life. That is rejecting the word of Jesus. That is rejecting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You will be forgiven for anything else you call upon the name of Jesus asking forgiveness of. Whew, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that because I've had to ask Him for a lot of forgiveness. Amen. How many of you had to ask God to forgive you a lot in your life? Amen. Aren't you glad He did? Aren't you glad you're cleansed? You know what it says in the book of 1 John? When you ask God to forgive you, He will restore you back unto righteousness.
Amen.
He will wash your slate clean, wipe it clean, put you back in the state you were before you did whatever it was you did that you came and asked forgiveness for. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty good right there. Because I would hate to think that some of the things I've done in my life are going to, God's going to hold them against me forever and I'm just going to feel like this terrible person. No, God is a forgiving God. God is a loving God. God wants what's best for you.
Amen.
Amen. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
God wants what's best for you. But guys, we got to understand what's going on. We got to understand it. At this point, Jesus is going to separate the believers from non-believers. All the ungodly people who've coexisted with us our whole lives will finally be separated out and will face judgment for their unwillingness to accept Jesus as their Savior. The believers, however, will be told to come and take their inheritance, the reward that Jesus has been preparing for us since the creation. Since the creation. We're going to get that reward. But you see, those goats, the goats are going to get eternal separation from Jesus. And that's what this parable is all about here, guys. You've got to decide. There is no pen in the middle. There's a pen on the right, and there's a pen over here on the left. Now, don't think just because you're sitting on the left, you're goats. Amen. Don't get upset. Now, don't get nervous. I'm not classifying the left side as goats. Amen. I'm just saying there's two distinct pens. There's two distinct groups that we're going to be in when that time comes. Jesus goes on to tell His disciples that he wanted them to mention to His children that when He was hungry, they gave Him food. When He was thirsty, they gave Him something to drink. When He was a stranger, they invited Him in. When He needed clothing, what'd they do? They clothed Him. When He was sick, they looked after Him. When He was in prison, they came to visit Him. Verses 35 through 36. I want to ask you something. When's the last time you did something good for somebody? When's the last time you saw somebody that looked like they might be a little hungry and you walked up and you said, "Hey, can I get you something to eat? Can I buy you something to eat?" When's the last time you turned your back on somebody that was holding up a sign? And I know, don't think I don't know this. I know some of these people are fakes. I know somebody. If the Holy Spirit of God is pulling at your heart for you to go and do something to that person, I got to believe that that person is legitimate. Now, if the Holy Spirit's telling you, "Oh, don't fool with that," which He's told me that before, I just go on by. I'll wave at him. I say, "God bless you, brother." But I'm going to tell you something. If the Holy Spirit of God is tugging at your heart, guess what God's Word says? Sometimes in doing that, we will have ministered unto angels and not even know it. How many times have you had an opportunity to minister to somebody who was an angel put here on this earth for you to be tested of God and you failed? How many times have you given somebody something to drink when they were thirsty? And I'm not talking about down at the club on Saturday night, amen. Woo, amen. I'm not talking about that kind of drink. We give plenty of that out sometimes. I'm talking about, how about giving them some living water? Like what Jesus gave the woman at the well. How many of you have gone in the last 2 or 3 weeks and give somebody some living water? Something that will benefit them. Because guys, I'm going to tell you what. These are the things. And look at what they said. When did we see you thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? When did we see you needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And after questioning Jesus on these things, you know what He said to them? He said, "Whenever you did any of these for one of the least of His children, you did it unto Me." So let me tell you something, guys. When you do good things, when your heart overflows and you do good things for people, you're doing it as unto the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You're doing it as unto Jesus. You're not doing it for yourself. Because if you're doing it for yourself, you're not going to get any blessing from that. In fact, you're going to get some condemnation from Jesus at that judgment seat. Now, I'm telling you, if it's all about you and it's not about Him, you probably might be over in the goat pen actually already. Because guys, you've got to empty yourself of you. If you want to be useful to the kingdom, you must empty yourself of you. That's why the Bible says, if you want to follow me, Jesus told His disciples, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me daily.
Amen.
Amen. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen. You got to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him daily. Then Jesus turned to His left. Whew, I don't want to be on that left-hand side. Amen. That's why people refer to the right hand of Jesus. You ever thought about that? I'm at the right hand of Jesus. Stay at the right hand of Jesus, because that's where the sheep are, amen. They're on the right side. The goats are over there on the left side. Let me tell you something. Some of you need to get some goats out of your life right now, amen. Some of you need to go through and get rid of some things that are pulling you down and dragging you down, amen. It may be a friend. It may be somebody that you think is an important person, but in reality they're not. Anything that's taking you away from serving God is not worthy of your time. You might say, well, preacher, that's awfully harsh. Well, guess what? You know what's going to be awfully harsh? In the end, when He separates the sheep from the goats and He looks at those goats and says, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. That's going to be tough. It's not tough to tell somebody right now, I can't have anything to do with you because you're leading me down the wrong path. But it's going to be really tough when those persons are standing there in front of Jesus at that great white throne judgment for the goats, and they're going to hear those words. Here's what Jesus said to the ones on His left. He said, depart from him into eternal fire that's prepared for the devil and his angels. He will then proceed to tell them why they're going to receive this punishment. He's going to tell them, because they're going to be asking, trust me. Wait a minute, Lord. Oh, hold on a minute, Jesus. We need to talk about this for a minute. We need to back up here for a minute. Guess what? Guess what, Jesus? Hey, I prayed. I prayed in your name. I laid hands on people in your name. I came to church every Sunday in your name. I read your Bible occasionally in your name. I can see Jesus like this right now. Okay. Depart from me. I never knew you. As soon as they get that last word out, depart from me. I never knew you. Guys, those are going to be some harsh words that Jesus is going to say. But guess what? It doesn't have to be that way. I want you to know, I want this to be a message of hope for you. Not a message of condemnation. Yeah, you need to be condemned and convinced of what you're doing wrong. But you don't have to stay that way. We serve a God who's quick and just to forgive you of your sins and restore you back unto righteousness. Amen. We're quick to find fault in people and judge people and condemn people. Jesus is a God of forgiveness. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus loves forgiveness. Jesus died for forgiveness. Amen. So, if you can't forgive your brother, you're probably over there in the goat pen right now. Because He's commanded us to do that. It's not optional with a believer. Jesus' disciples said, how many times ought I forgive my brother? 7 times? He said, no, 70 times 7. And I'm not saying you stop at 490 times. Amen. If they come up to you 500 times and say, I'm sorry, you say, I forgive you. Amen. That's the love of Jesus. When Jesus was sitting there talking to the woman at the well, He knew everything about her. She was terrible. We would classify her as a scum of the earth here in today's language. We would say, you're a tramp. You're a prostitute. And that's the kind word that we've used for that. Amen. You know what I'm talking about here. That's what we'd call her. But you know what Jesus did? He didn't condemn her. He didn't beat her up. He said, I'm going to give you some living water. And that's what this message is about today. The living water that Jesus wants to bring to you. That woman was in the goat pen. By the time Jesus got done with her, her whole family was over in the sheep pen. Amen?
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Her whole family was over in the sheep pen when he got done. And when she got done listening to the master.
Amen.
You see, He's going to tell these people that when he was hungry and thirsty, they didn't give him anything to drink. When he was a stranger, they did not invite him in. When he needed clothing, they didn't give him anything to wear. When he was in prison and sick, they didn't look after him. And these unbelievers are going to then question Jesus, asking him, When was it that I didn't do all these things, Lord? Jesus is going to tell them that what they did not do for the least of his children, they did not do for him. And that's going to be the sad truth of it, guys. We're in one of two categories today. Well, I'm going to go so far as to say three. But in the end, there'll only be two. And let me tell you why I say a third one right now. Because there's always the possibility that a born-again believer, as the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son was, a born-again believer has crossed over and gotten into the goat pen, but can be redirected back into the sheep pen. That's always a possibility. But in the end, guys, there will only be two distinct routes. The sheep on the right-hand side, the true born-again believers in Jesus, guys, I read you what the works of the flesh are. I read you what the work of the Spirit is. You're either on the right side or you're on the left side. And in the end, that's the only two sides they're going to be. We're not going to say, oh, well, the Muslims get over here, the Jehovah's Witnesses here, whoever over here. No, there's going to be two distinct groups, the sheep and the goats. I ask you today, which group are you in? Which group are you in? Are you sure you're in the sheep pen? Because if you're not, it's not too late, guys. It's not too late. Just this week, some of you remember this guy. He played football for us back on our real good team back in 2005. His name was Lionel Mapp, one of the gentlest giants I've ever known. He was a 6'9", 365-pound offensive tackle we had. Suddenly and tragically died at 29 years of age this past week from an apparent heart attack. Gone, just like that. I hope and pray he was in the sheep pen, because now it's too late. It's too late. See, we think we've always got all this time. Look at the people that have died in just the last month out on the highways and byways around this area. Some of them young, some of them older. Death knows no age. When God sends the death angel to call somebody out, it's over. There is no more time. So guys, I want you to think about this. You've got time now. You're still breathing now. You can make the right decision now. When you walk out this door and get in your car and go home, I can't guarantee you'll have time to make that decision. I hope and pray you will. But guys, I want you to know one thing. Jesus loves you, amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. Jesus loves you. He loves you enough that he crawled up that hill with that cross on his back and was nailed to it. And with it were nailed your sins and my sins. Forever. Past, present, and future. Isn't it great to know when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you do mess up and you ask God to forgive you, he's already covered your future sins. Amen.
Amen.
That's comforting to know. Because guess what? We're going to keep messing up. That's inevitable. We're going to keep messing up because we live in a sinful world. But we don't have to be of this world. Yeah, we got to be in it, but we can be that light on the hill. We can be that light that illuminates the darkness. That's what I'm looking for. Men and women who say they're born-again believers to stand up and show that light. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. Not hiding behind over here. Oh, I don't want to upset somebody. Well, you might want to upset them now so that God doesn't have to upset them later. Amen?
Amen.
I would rather upset them now than to hear them say those words when the goats are brought in front of Jesus.
Amen.
Don't worry about hurting their feelings now. You talk to them about Jesus. And whatever you do, let others see Jesus in you. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for your word. God, we can stand on your word firm. It's always truthful to us. It's always helpful to us. God, I pray if there's anyone here today that needs to come up here to this altar. God, I believe you've stirred some hearts and minds of some people in this audience here today. Lord, some of them need to come up here and get in this old altar and just kneel down and say, Lord, I've done some things wrong, but I know I'm a sheep. I just want to be pleasing in your sight. Come up here and pour out your heart to Jesus. If there's anybody here today that does not really know Jesus as their Savior, you may have been fooling yourself for years and years. You may be even be a deacon in this church. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be somebody out there in the community that everybody thinks is a born-again believer, but in your heart, the Holy Spirit of God is telling you something different. I pray you'll come and get that right today. And God, we're going to give you all the glory for all of this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing?
465.
465. Let's stand and sing hymn number 465.